Part C, Monetary Dictatorship. Now that we know all the bad news that's probably going to take place as a result of the economic meltdown that we are surely going to face, whether it's immediately or several months out or 6 or 8 months out, let's look at the fact that God gives us hope so that we can really understand that God will watch over us and protect us and be with us in these times, even though we will have to live through the most difficult times that any of us have seen in a long, long time. I know there are going to be some people not going to like it, but if I never say these things and they happen, someone is going to turn around and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" We've never had a time when the U.S. financial system is in the way that it is. Now, we're also living in an age when things happen very fast. Comment was made, who would thought a month ago that this would have happened? And also, things move so fast, and it's all hooked up digitally worldwide. Huge sums of money can just evaporate, pew, and everything be gone. So I know it's difficult, but let me just relate to you a comment from someone who sat in on the briefing with Henry Paulson when he described what was going to happen. They sat there after he was done, and there wasn't a word spoken for many, many minutes. And it said it took all the oxygen out of the air. So when we look at these things in the long term, and if these things were far off and yet to come, that would be one case. They're not far off and yet to come. They are near at hand and ready to happen. Now, also in this, over the weekend, not over the weekend, but before the weekend, Washington Mutual, the largest savings and loan bank in the United States, went into receivership to the FDIC, and Morgan Stanley bought it. Morgan Stanley Chase bought it. Oh, but all your money up to $100,000 is guaranteed. What is the guarantee worth? The piece of paper that it's written on. So they were also having a run on money market funds and IRAs. People thought, oh, I've got my retirement nest egg in here. And within 10 days, it was down 40%. That's a money market fund. Oh, but they're guaranteed up to $250,000. So there we are. That's a financial system that we are in today. Yeah, the comment was made, well, a year ago, 2 years ago, Washington Mutual stock was at $68 a share. When Morgan Stanley took it over, it was 42 cents a share. All the stockholders lost everything that they had. Comment was made concerning Y2K when that hit and everything that they said to do at that particular time, and it didn't turn out anything like they said. So the question is this problem going to turn out like Y2K and everything come out like roses? We don't know, but we have to be prudent and trust God the best we can in our relationship with Him. And these things can get overwhelming at times, but we need to be forewarned so when they come, we trust God and that's the best we can do. We're not going to save ourselves. We're not going to extend our lives. All of those things are true. You know, it's like it said there in the book of Amos. What is the day of the Lord to you? See? A day of darkness and cloudiness and gloominess. Day of death and destruction. And we're at the door. Now, maybe God in His mercy will move the threshold out a little further. And I think a lot depends on this particular election that we are in, whether the threshold will be moved a little further or brought in closer. We don't know. I think a good example we need to look at is what has happened to the United States just this year. Just this year. We've had 7 major storms hit. I don't know if you've seen pictures of Galveston, Texas, and other places, and other flooding. People living in those areas, there were some who stayed back. They were given plenty of warnings. Some made it through because of whatever circumstances, maybe even praying to God. I'm sure they would. If you were in a storm with 100-mile-an-hour winds, you'd be praying to God every minute. But their homes are heaps. Others have been flooded. Tornadoes have occurred. Is God pleased with this nation, or is he angry at it? Now, granted, it may seem like a little overmuch in some of the preaching, but nevertheless, we need to draw close to God and draw strength from that and hold on to that. I don't know about you, but I've been in, I was baptized in 1960. And so we've lived through all of these things that have gone on. I got a letter from a woman the other day who said, "Well, I listened to your resignation sermon. First time I ever heard it. And I never realized that you said the forces will be, unless there's repentance, the forces would be let loose, which would tear the church asunder." Well, that was 1979. Did not occur until 1998. Started occurring step by step. No one heeded warnings. Or you're being negative. Or you're picking on Mr. Armstrong. But in the final analysis, and I don't take myself as a prophet, but if you know the Word of God and know how God deals, God says, judgment begins at the house of God. And when I saw and knew all the corruption that was going on, and it was going on while everyone else was saying, oh, sweet, lovely things, and I was labeled as a total pariah, I was labeled as Satan-inspired. But you go back and listen to that sermon again. Did it all happen? And if it did, that doesn't make me a prophet, but if God inspired me to say it because I asked him to inspire me when I gave the resignation sermon, then all the credit goes to God for that. And a lot of people didn't like it. But where are they now? What are we doing now? In the final analysis, we all have to love God and fear him, or the fearful events that are going to take place are going to be more than we can handle. So if mentally and spiritually we can be prepared, then this is what God wants us to do. And we have to in these times. And you always have to be encouraged with hope in spite of the circumstances. And many times God puts us in positions where we don't understand, and we maybe think that there is not hope when there is hope. And he puts us in those circumstances so that we will trust him. And the trust comes in varying degrees. That's why we have different trials, and that's why we go through different things. Now let's come to Romans, the 4th chapter. Let's look at Abraham, because we are the children of Abraham. And let's also understand Abraham did not have the Bible. He did not have the law of Moses, because Moses wasn't born yet. He may have had some of the writings from the time of Noah down to his time, but that's about all that he may have had. So God dealt with him directly and personally, and he gave him tremendous promises. And you can read of those in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, Genesis 17, Genesis 22, and all of the patriarchs and the promises given to the children of Israel. But he had to believe God and what he said. He didn't have a scripture that he could take out and read it and say, okay, I'll read this and get comfort. God came to him when he was 75 and said, you're going to have a child. No, it was 85. 75 is when he was called. Okay. But before he had the child, God made sure that he was reproductively dead, because this would be a child of promise. So you look at all of the circumstances were totally impossible. He was 85. His wife was 10 years younger than he, so she was 75. And they had to wait until Abraham was 99 and she was 89. Now, they could have gotten very discouraged because God hadn't delivered on his promise, but you see, God was using him for something way out in time and down to our day to day. But he had to focus on the one child that was promised, the child of promise. Okay? Now let's pick it up here in Romans 4 and verse 13. We could read a lot of other verses in there, but we won't do that. For the promise to Abraham or to his seed that he should be heir of the world. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? He understood more than just the ground that he was on, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Heir of the world. So Abraham is going to have a very high position in the kingdom of God, is he not? Yes. Was not given through law, rather it was given through the righteousness of faith. He had to believe God. And that's a thing that most people don't do today. Believe God. The way you believe God is when the time gets tough, you trust God always in all circumstances. Now let's come down to verse 16. For this reason it is of faith, in order that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be certain to all the seed. Because God told him, look at the stars of heaven. That's how your seed are going to be. So we're part of that. We are part of what God promised Abraham here. Because Paul also wrote that if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Might be by grace to the end that the promise might be certain to all the seed, not to the one who is of the law only, but also to the one who is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Exactly as it is written, I have made you. Now this is what is called perfect tense, completed prophetic act. By the very fact that God said it, it would happen. As good as done. And we need to learn a lesson in faith toward God. If he says it, he will do it. I have made you a father of many nations. He didn't even have a son yet. Before God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. And as not, that means as not yet taken place. And who against hope believed in hope. This is why we've said repeatedly, we stand in grace, we walk in faith, we believe in hope, and we live in love. And that's how we have to do it, even in all these dire circumstances that are coming along. In order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And the greatest strength and greatest encouragement we can have is to believe God and believe his word. Now, we all want to believe the blessings. That's true. But we also have to incorporate the understanding that the other side of the coin comes too. And he, not being weak in faith, well, you can go back and read the problems of struggling with faith that they had, considered not his own body already having become dead, being about 100 years old, nor did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he did not doubt the promise of God through unbelief. So what we also need to understand is this, because the circumstances around us do not look like what we think they should be, does not mean that the promise of God is of no effect. And because we live in times of trouble and turmoil that are going to escalate to being the worst that the world has ever seen, does not do away with the love of God, and does not do away with the faith of God, does not do away with the hope that he has given us. And I think we can learn a lesson from Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Imagine what they had to preach. Imagine the circumstances that they were in. And they were virtually alone. And all of those that were supposed to be their kinfolks were against him. And when he told the Jews, you go surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and you will live. They said, you're a traitor. You're working for the enemy. And they threw him into the sewer. But God's promise was, he'd rescue him. So how did he rescue him? Well, with an Ethiopian, a Cushite, some other men and some rags and pulled him out of the muck of the sewer. Imagine what Jeremiah thought when he was in there, however deep he was into the muck. I'll just let you contemplate that. Rather, he was strengthened in faith, and faith comes from belief, giving glory to God. For he was fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was also able to do. That applies to everything. To help us, to heal us, to guide us, to watch over us, to judge the world, to judge his church, to bring the fruition of the end of the age. As a result, it was also imputed to him for righteousness. Right standing with God. So whenever you hear things like we covered on the first part of this message today, that does not do away with the hope and the promise that God has given. That does not do away with the faith that God wants us to have. That doesn't do away with the righteousness and the right standing that God has given us, because as we're going to see, he has especially chosen us because we are going to live through these times. And we're going to have to trust him in ways that Abraham never had to trust God in the same way. But nevertheless, his example of faith and hope and belief is what we need to follow, because that gives us the spiritual strength, and it gives us the spiritual mindset, and it gives us the spiritual focus. Verse 23, but it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, rather, it was also written for our sakes, to whom it shall be imputed, to those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who has delivered us from our offenses and was raised for our justification. And it was mentioned earlier, whenever we get a little too discouraged, remember what Jesus went through. But he always had the hope set before him. So then he continues on, chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, because that's how we do, we stand in faith by God, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God, always looking to God. He has called us for the greatest and most profound purpose of human life in this age. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. We're going to have to live through the destruction of this age, but we're going to save it under Christ. Not only this, but we also boast in tribulations. Now, if anyone could be discouraged about circumstances and difficulties, Paul certainly could. You can read 2 Corinthians 11, all the things that he went through. And yet the Corinthians really didn't like Paul. Yeah. Realizing that tribulation brings forth endurance. And that's what we need in these times. Now, these things may not fall upon us right away, but nevertheless, the mechanisms are being set up that they will take place. See? And endurance brings us strength, which in verse 4 says, and endurance brings forth character. That's what God wants us to have. Godly character through Christ. And character brings forth hope, because we believe God and we know his word is true. And the hope of God never makes us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. So we also need to realize that. And we need to keep that in mind always. Now let's come to some of the Psalms. Let's see some of the things that David wrote. Let's come to the very first Psalm. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That's our strength, the Spirit of God, letting his word be written in our hearts and in our minds. That's how we withstand the things that are coming. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water. that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does shall prosper. And of course, our prosperity is not in physical goods, but our prosperity is in the spiritual goods and the spiritual character. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. So we need to trust God in every way, everything that there is. Now, let's come back here to Psalm 82. Psalm 82 and verse 1. God stands in the congregations of God, in the congregation of God. God is always with us. So regardless of the circumstances, never let despondency overcome you, because you have God's Spirit. He's in you. Can't be anything greater in your life. He judges among the gods. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And Jesus, when they accused him of saying that he was the Son of God, he quoted this, and it says, does it not even say, you are gods? Ultimate purpose of what we're going to be. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Defend the fatherless and the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy and save them out of the hand of the wicked. There we can claim a promise right there. God delivers us. They do not know, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken out of course, which shows the end of it there. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. That's tremendous. So when things get overwhelming, always remember that. We'll see a little more of this when we continue on here. The children of God. What did John write in 1 John 3? Behold, what glorious love the Father has for us, that we are called the children of God. So here's a scripture that refers to that. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Going to happen. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Now let's come over here to Psalm 84, and this has to do with coming Feast of Tabernacles, but let's keep our minds focused on this as well. Let's understand where we're going and what we're headed for, okay? Yes, there are going to be a lot of difficulties, but remember the 23rd Psalm. See, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall comfort me. Your rod and your staff uphold me. And you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. So God knows us. He'll watch out for us. But here has to be our focus. How lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And this has to be our attitude. This will be, how shall we say, the thoughts and the spiritual action and our focus toward the hope of God and our calling. My soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's where it is. God will help us. God will strengthen us. And I know when I've been through problems which were so overwhelming, I didn't know what to do. I just had to say, God, help me. Intervene. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. But I know that you're right and true. So you cry out for the living God. Then he brings this out. Yea, even the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And what did Jesus say of a sparrow? Not even one of them falls, and God does not know about it. How much more is he interested in us, Jesus said. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Are you in the church of God? Yes, you're dwelling in his house. You are part of the household of God. They will be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. That's where we get our strength. And this is why we have the trials and difficulties. You have spiritual exercise through faith, hope, and love that you use to be strengthened in character spiritually. Much like physically, if you exercise, your muscles do not get strong unless you exercise, and you cannot maintain that strength unless there is exercise, you see. So likewise, our strength with God comes that way. Now notice what happens. Your ways are in their hearts. So if you haven't gone over the sermon lately, it's the first one in the Love series, which is, remember when all else fails, God loves you. Just because there are pronouncements against the world and dire circumstances that are coming doesn't mean that God doesn't know you and love you. He does. Verse 6, who passed through the valley of weeping to make it a place of springs. Yea, the early rain also clothes it with blessing. They go from strength to strength. That's the strength of Christ. We are told to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, are we not? Yes. Every one of them appearing in Zion before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, protect you, watch over you. Look upon the face of your anointed. And I'm sure some of these things were also part of the thoughts of Christ as he was going through his ordeal leading to the crucifixion and enduring that. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So you see, that's how we get our strength. We set our mind with the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the focus of God. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. Now notice, here's a promise which ties in with John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come to give them life and life more abundantly. But that doesn't necessarily mean now. That's going to happen when he returns. But look at this. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. What are the good things that God gives us? His Spirit, his truth, his Word, his love. Those are the things that we need. Yes, we need the physical things as long as we're in the flesh. And so we need to take care of ourselves and do the best we can. And as I mentioned in the first part of the message today, we need to be prepared the best we can. For the Lord is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. He won't withhold any good thing. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. That's where we have to always be looking, trusting in God. Now let's come back here to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, which I think is one of the most inspiring books in the whole Bible. So let's come here to Ephesians, the first chapter. And let's understand that as the Apostle Paul wrote these things, he was inspired of God to write them for all the saints of all time. And remember that those who were in the first century church went through an awful lot of difficulties and trials and persecutions and martyrdoms. Let's begin right here in verse 1. And again, I want you to see how Paul has written this and what the focus of it is and how we need to continually look to God in this particular way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who were in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So that's extending way beyond down to our time, you see. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us peace of mind in times of troubles and difficulties. He gives us understanding so we can endure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. That's what we want. We want the spiritual blessings. Because when those spiritual blessings that we have with his Spirit are there, then we can look at all of the difficulties that take place. And we can realize, yes, they are going to occur, but God will see us through it. We may have a little stress and trouble, but God will see us through it. because he's done something very important, verse 4, according as he has personally chosen us for himself. You need to let those words sink in. That's why your relationship with God is the most important thing, as we brought up earlier. Because God the Father has called you, has granted you repentance, has put you in a relationship with him, and he has done it personally. Now let's come back to a scripture we've all gone over many times, John 6, and let's read it so that we don't get discouraged and overcome with the circumstances that are happening around us. John 6, verse 44. Now this is why this becomes so important and inspirational for us. Because knowing that God himself, the sovereign ruler of the universe, has personally dealt in your life. You didn't come to the church by accident. You didn't come to the knowledge of the truth by happenstance. God dealt in your life. Now, you may not have realized it at the time, because God does use circumstances to bring us, but he is the one who does it. Now, verse 44, no one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's where you are today, because of the Father. Yes, there is a church. Yes, there are ministers. Yes, there are teachers. But God is the one who does the work. God works through you, and God works through the teachers. God works through his Spirit. God works through the circumstances around us. But he's the one who draws us. And I will raise him up at the last day. Very important, isn't it? Just a little parenthetical statement here. This does not mean the feast of the last great day. But as you count to Pentecost, what is the last day? Day 50. Another proof, Pentecost and the resurrection is symbolized by that. Now, furthermore, let's go on even further. God is involved in your life with his Spirit, in your mind, in your heart, and in your attitude. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. That's how you're taught. Now, we all have to do the work. We have to study, we have to read, we have to pray, we have to do all these things. But that is our part in responding to God. But through that, he is teaching us. That's why it's not by our works that we are saved, you understand. And so anything that you learn and that you know, though God uses his word, he uses his teachers, you're being taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father, and of course answered the call, has learned, and has learned comes to me. Well, let's come back to Ephesians, the first chapter. This is how we are personally chosen. But notice, what is the relationship? Verse 4, according as he has personally chosen us for himself. Now that ought to let that sink in real deep. Let that give you great encouragement. And it says before the foundation of the world. But that means he had set that he was going to personally choose different ones down through time in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. That's what God wants. Now, who is holy and blameless? God. Isn't that something? Having predestinated us for sonship to himself. Again, notice, for himself, to himself, he is our Father, we are his children. And that's what we need to keep in the forefronts of our minds. According to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son. Isn't that something? Yes, God rules the universe. Yes, God rules in the earth. Yes, he's turned it over to Satan the devil. Yes, he has his people that he has called out of this world. Yes, he's involved in the governments of this world and so forth to fulfill the prophecies and all of that. But we are the objects of his grace in Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace, and constantly coming to God for that, you see, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. Now here's another thing to keep in mind. having made known to us the mystery of his own will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. How many people know and understand the word of God, the plan of God, the truth of God, and what God is doing? How many really know and understand, and if we could put it this way, the good, the bad, and the ugly of prophecy? And there's all of that. See, it's made known his plan. That in the divine plan, verse 10, for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in heaven and the things upon the earth, and that will not be fulfilled until the fulfilling of the last great day, as we know, with the second resurrection. Isn't that something? Verse 11. Yes, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose. That's why we're here. So keep that in mind when we have to talk about the evil that's taking place in the world and, you know, contemporary news that is taking place. Remember, you are not in Darfur, working everything out according to the counsel of his own will, which is what? That we might be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And all that come into the kingdom of God after the first resurrection are going to look to us as the glorious first fruits of God. And we had to go through things that other people did not have to remain faithful to God, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has a seal. That's why we're not any of the 144,000. You're already sealed if you have the Holy Spirit now. All right? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. So God gave us his Spirit as an absolute guarantee that we will attain to the resurrection if we're faithful, until the redemption of the purchased possession, and that is through Christ, to the praise of his glory. Now, let's continue on here. Let's come down here to verse 17. This is his prayer. This is what we need to focus on. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And may the eyes of your mind be enlightened in order that you may comprehend what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the inner working of his mighty power. And that's why our personal relationship with God is so important. We pray to God, but his word and his spirit talks to us, as it were. Not that we're going to hear the voice of God. Don't misunderstand me in that. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand into heavenly places, far above every principality and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also in the age to come. And he has subordinated all things under his feet, and has given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all. Well, let's come over here to my favorite part of the Bible. Most encouraging. So let's understand this. You get discouraged, you get down, you see all the problems and difficulties that are coming. That's the time to take some time and pray. That's the time to open up the Bible and study on your knees. That's a time, if you're really discouraged and you feel as though there is no hope left in anything, and everyone's going to come to that point in order for you to really understand and trust in God. Remember this. Let's come down here to verse 13, Ephesians 3. Now, Paul is writing, and he's saying, so then I beseech you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which are working for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the vision we need to have all the time, because the proverb says, without vision the people perish. of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You are the Son of God, the daughter of God, the children of God, and the resurrection will complete your spiritual creation, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. And that's what we need at this time more than ever, ever before. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to fully comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. God wants us to know. He wants us to be inspired. And when we are inspired and when difficult times and problems come, we can get through them. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now think of that. When we talk about the things that take place in the world today, that doesn't take away from the fact that this is true. And I'm glad it was brought up that we need to have encouragement as well. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the kind of faith and hope we need to have in God. According to the power that is working in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now, there are other passages you can read. Read all the book of Philippians, all the book of Colossians. And maybe I can just suggest this. When things really get tough and there are a lot of discouraging things take place, set yourself on studying these things in your own personal Bible study, and with prayer, ask God to strengthen you. That's how we will get through it. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.